2019 Cornerstone Credit Union League Annual Meeting and Expo in Austin, Texas. Whew, that's a lot to say.
Austin, Texas.
It is. Fun town. It's a little rainy out right now.
A little bit.
We are here with James Pogue from James Pogue Enterprises. James, how are you, sir?
I'm doing really well. Austin, Texas, a little damp today, but we're going to get it going.
Indeed. There's going to be some, like, I think, thunder and lightning and stuff, or lightning and thunder, whichever.
Well, that's part of the fun.
Exactly.
You
that's what makes Texas
run
Texas.
No void.
You can staying in here where it's safe. All right. Hey, how's the conference going for you so far?
So far, so good. All I'm missing right now is a cup of coffee, and life would be perfect.
There's a Starbucks right downstairs.
And I'm going to make
I'll go get you one right afterward. How about that? So we got Starbucks. Now we'll talk about your topic.
Yes.
Diversity and inclusion in the workplace. This is the kind of the topic you're going to be talking about at your presentation today. You're going to be this afternoon and tomorrow, you said?
Yes, this afternoon is diversity and inclusion in the workplace. And then tomorrow, we're talking about doing a male champions focus group.
Oh, okay. Ooh, I might have to sit in on that one. Wow. All right, so give me a quick couple of, give me a quick overview of the diversity and inclusion in the workplace presentation.
Sure. So broadly speaking, many organizations are doing something with diversity, inclusion, bias, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unfair to assume that all organizations are at the same place in their diversity, inclusion, or bias journey. Or that they're using the same words, the same language, have the same understanding.
Right.
It's not fair. So what I like to do is sort of level set people and say, look, here are some of the broad definitions that we can agree to.
Right.
Right, that are generally accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I want, after we level set, then I want to dig a little deeper. And now that if we agree that this is what we're talking about, how are you doing with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And then I've developed an assessment tool. I call it the DIBS model, Diversity, Inclusion, and Bias.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows people to assess themselves, assess them their teams, or assess their organization and say, how are we doing with this thing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've done some initiatives. We've done some training. We've done some workshops. How are we doing?
Right.
So I'll provide this opportunity for people to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And they can if they want to. And take a look at where they are. And then I'll ask them to take a deeper look and say, where, if you're speaking for your teams, your organization, where do you think you are?
Mm-hmm.
And then once we've got an idea of where we are, we self-assess. Then I'm going to give them some of the top five biases that exist in the workplace and see if that resonates with them.
Okay.
And then we'll take a look at if that is the case, if this is where you are, and these biases resonate with you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Here's a prescription for changing some things, and I'll give them some broad ideas of how we can change individually and how we can change organizationally.
This is a topic that's really big in this industry right now, so you're going to have a very engaged audience. I know, because there's an organization in this industry called the Filene Research Institute, and you might want to connect with them because they're doing a lot of stuff on diversity and inclusion as well.
Okay.
It's a big topic because almost every conference I go to, I do at least one interview on it.
Mm.
So you're in the right ballpark, sir. So what are a couple of other takeaways that audience members can get? I mean, you just named a whole bunch of them.
Sure.
What are a couple of ones that they can walk away with and implement on Monday morning, so
yes,
to speak?
So I think the first thing is that it is unconscious. So it's unfair to beat somebody up for what's working in the background of their head. It is fair to beat them up or hold them accountable for not doing anything about it.
Ah, gotcha.
We all have unconscious biases. I have to work on my own. I just came back from Korea, and I had to catch myself from going too far or too fast with some of my ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep asking questions, keep exposing myself to something new.
Right.
So I think that's the first thing, that it's okay to have biases.
Mm-hmm.
You have to agree to that. We have to agree to
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for me, but for the teams that I work
with.
The second thing is you can do something. And taking one small step, one tick, closer to getting further along your diversity journey or unconscious bias journey is a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
In a lot of ways, it's sort of like the movie Inception.
Oh, yeah.
You just plant a seed really deep.
Yeah.
And then just let's see how it sprouts over time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, depending on where you or your organization are on your journey, you can push harder, you can push faster. Maybe it's a situation where, you know what, what we need in our organization are workshops and training for people to come in and work us from the ground up and the top down.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
you're doing really good and you just hired a senior executive and he or she just needs a little work with this or that. So we need to do some coaching with this person to bring them up as part of the team because everything else about them we love, but this piece they needed a little help on.
Yeah.
So we have to take a look at where your organization is and what is the right prescription for your success.
Talk to me about your personal experience, because you in the email you sent over, or I think your assistant or somebody sent it over to me, said they include the personal experience in there as well. So you want to give us a quick anecdote?
Sure. So I've spent a lot of time researching this topic, as one might imagine, but there's a reason why we do all of these things, right? And so my family is a military family. Lots and lots of people in the military, I'd say probably at least a couple dozen people in the last three generations. And what I have found about living a military life, live as a military child, as a military person myself, you are surrounded by difference.
Oh, yeah.
On our block, there were all kinds of interesting married couples, interesting looking children, and to see someone who had an experience or a life that was in Europe or in Asia or in Australia was not uncommon.
Right.
And then getting out into the real world where that is not the case, where most people are exposed to what is very local to them, was different and a bit shaking for me, but it is the norm. And so I had to level set with that. I ended up going myself to a historically black college, which was strange for me because I hadn't grown up in a historically black environment. Everybody was just different and interesting in their own ways.
Yeah.
And so then realizing that as a person who claims to be African American, and I look around, I see a bunch of other people who claim to be African American, we don't all believe the same things. We don't all want the same thing. We don't eat all drink the same food or, you know, have the same adult beverages, or some people like crawfish and some people don't, and all these kinds of things that happen in Louisiana. And so part that really helped me to understand that within what we think are groups of people that are the same, there's still massive amounts of difference.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that is okay.
That's why we're human. We're
That's
people.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, everybody's different. Everyone's got their quirks. Everyone's got their different beliefs, all that type of stuff. Yeah.
And it's what makes it exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, why I can sit down with a strange person, stranger to me, and say, hey, well, tell me about this or tell me about that.
Yeah.
And they're going to shock me or surprise me or teach me something. And I'm a what people call like a lifelong learner. I do enjoy that. But I also want to be the kind of person who has something to share, who is comfortable enough with myself to say, well, this is what I think, and if we disagree, that's great. So how about you poke holes in my idea?
Yeah.
Because I might be wrong.
Right.
You know, and I'm okay with having my mind change, but you have to change it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to change it because you asked me to. So that's part of my own sort of personal journey, like, as that I come from a particular place, again, a military background that connected me to a bunch of different people over time. And then jumping into a space where a bunch of people who look like me, I realize we are all very different from one another. And then going off to grad school is even another set of different people. So I enjoy the work that I do now, where I get to touch people's minds and shake them up. It's this fancy PhD world word, intellectual disequilibrium, where you put your finger in somebody's brain, you stir it up, and then see how it settles, like a snow globe.
Oh, great. Okay.
You know? And I think that's an interesting place to be, where being a little uncomfortable is where you can learn a whole lot.
Oh, no doubt. And that's why I like this. I mean, from my personal experience, I love doing this job because I get to talk to so many people who are different. They believe different things. They do different things. And that's how I learn. And I can ask better questions as a result, too. So I'm a lifelong learner, just like you.
Yes,
so it's
really
cool. But I'm going to ask you the obvious question. But I'm asking it because I want to get your take on it. Why is this stuff so important today, especially in the workplace?
Yes. Well, I think it's about doing what's good for business, and it's about doing what is good. So, and I find that most people are good people. Very few people are crazy sociopaths. Just a very few.
Those are the ones that make the news, unfortunately.
Yes, and they generally stand out.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Since most of us are good people, and most of us want to do the right thing, it's an easy trek from that to it's also good for business. The broader your pool is, the more you can get significant amounts of talent. If you're only pulling from a pool of people that are just like you, imagine what you're missing intellectually.
Yeah, exactly.
The technical expertise that you're missing. And there's one organization I work with about 3 months ago, and they cannot hire enough people. But when I look in their room and they know this is their challenge, it's a room full of people that all look alike. And they're like, how can we get better? They are very uncomfortable going into different environments and dipping their toes into new pools.
Yeah.
But they're curious about it. They know they have to do it if they want to survive as a business. They know that it is a business imperative to have a diverse set of people around the table. If for no other reason than you need more minds that can do the work.
Exactly.
But also imagine there's this idea that if somebody brings a perspective that is unique and different, they might be able to solve a problem differently, more economically, more quickly. Who knows?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. You get kind of this wide breadth of knowledge that you can get one perspective over here, one perspective over here, and sometimes you gotta meet in the middle somewhere.
Yes.
And you get a whole new, like you said, new perspective on stuff. So
the other thing that I would share is that it forces us to negotiate which idea from which perspective is the one that we're going to choose. And the idea of collaboration and negotiation and compromise, these are becoming lost arts in the world of, I won't say necessarily business, mm-hmm. but in the world. Mm-hmm. And so young people, as they're coming up, are being taught some of these things, mm-hmm. but we have to get better at it at our level so yeah. that when they come into our organization with an expectation of collaboration, negotiation, mm-hmm. and compromise, we're good at it too.
You are speaking the credit union mantra, sir. Collaboration, man, this is what we're all about. Yes. So you're going to have a very, like I say, you're going to have a very engaged audience this afternoon.
I'm looking forward
sure.
to it.
All right, to wrap up here, where can we find out more information on this type of stuff and your website as well?
My website is jamespogue.com, P-O-G-U-E. JP Enterprises is the name of the business.
Okay.
And my work is in diversity, inclusion, bias, unconscious bias. And I also do work with multi-generational intelligence, as you can imagine, with the different generations in the workplace.
Gosh, yeah.
There are a variety of biases mm-hmm. that are specific to this group or to this idea of the generations that are trying to work together and figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
And then overlay that with what we traditionally think of diversity, and you get a very complicated kind of goulash of things that can transpire.
Yeah.
And so things are busy, but I'm very, very optimistic. And I was talking to someone earlier today that I love working hard. I love being exhausted at the end of the day because it means that I did something and maybe I was able to move mm-hmm. a group of people one tick closer. And that's good enough maybe for them, and I'm okay with that.
Hey, if it's just an inch, eventually it gets to a mile.
That's
you know?
Right.
You keep
that's
on,
right.
you just keep moving forward.
That's right. That's
James,
right.
thank you so much, man.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate the time.
Take care.
James Pogue, everybody. JamesPogue.com.
That's it.
Go there, check it out.